Leading a fashion business in today's ever-changing economic background takes a multitude of skills, along with guts, instinct, and energy. In the Industry.Fashion's In Conversation podcast, we talk to the people who are in possession of all of those qualities and more, including those who have set up their own businesses or those who have risen to the top of fashion businesses, large and small. We delve into the background of these leaders' careers, find out what drove them to success, what continues to motivate them, and what their ambitions are for the future. We also get their take on how they see the industry developing, along with their advice for those wishing to follow in their footsteps. Lucinda Chambers and Serena Hood worked with some of the most prestigious luxury brands in fashion, from Marc Jacobs to Marni, Prada, and Armani, and at the highest echelons of fashion publishing. Their careers collided at British Vogue, where Lucinda was its celebrated fashion director, and Serena, its executive market and fashion director. After leaving the publication, the pair caught up for a coffee and hatched a plan to launch Collagerie, a platform that would combine their expertise in storytelling and curation across fashion, beauty, and lifestyle. Collagerie blends content and commerce and high street and high-end brands in one compelling and chic platform. In this episode, the pair talked to editor-in-chief Loretta Roberts about what it was like making the move into entrepreneurship, how the vision for Collagerie has been brought to life and evolved, and the secret behind the success of their partnership.
Lucinda and Serena, welcome to the podcast. We are so delighted to have you. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having us. Happy to be here.
It's a pleasure. It's an absolute pleasure. I've been really keen to delve into the story of Collagerie with you both. But before we get to that, I just wanted to ask you both to just give us a little bit of history of your very interesting careers today. I'm sure many people are very aware, but for those who are not, we'd just love to hear a little bit of a potted history. So, Lucinda, could we start with you, please?
Of course. I worked at Vogue for 37 years. I had a brief stint for 2 years at Elle, or Elle to the UK. And alongside Vogue, I'd always consulted for high street brands such as Zara and H&M. And I also worked for Prada for 10 years and Marni for 28 years. So lots of sort of segues in between.
Absolutely. What a fascinating career. We'll hear more about it. Serena, tell us a bit about you, please.
Well, I started off my career in New York working in merchandising for Marc Jacobs after I graduated from Georgetown. And from there, I went on to be fashion assistant at US Vogue, which was my first stint in the publishing world. I then moved back to London in 2010, and I first went and worked actually on the PR side for Giorgio Armani for 2 years. And then I went back into publishing to go to British Vogue, where I was executive fashion director and where I met Lucinda. We sat across the desk from each other for 5 years before we left. So that's a bit about me.
Yeah, you know each other very well. And obviously, it's interesting. Your backgrounds clearly make so much sense when we talk about what you're doing with Collagerie. But you knew each other from Vogue, but what was it that brought you together to set up a business? It is a really big step to do that. How did that happen?
Well, it was actually quite serendipitous because Serena and I were having a cup of coffee after we left Vogue, and you know we were very privileged at Vogue. We just had to be on receive mode for everything to come to us. So as long as you were on receive mode, you know, brands, products, photographers, models, designers, you know, came to us. And we met for a cup of coffee and we were actually just talking about where we would get all that information from now in one place. And we realized that there wasn't anywhere. And, you know, Serena's half my age and we have very different styles and tastes. And we don't think we're kind of weird and wonderful that there, you know, weren't hundreds of millions of women out there and actually men who also felt that. So it was a real light bulb moment. And we were like, well, if you need it and I need it, we've got to do it. So that's how Collagerie was launched.
Tell us.
I think also,
Serena, yeah. So, I mean, Serena, perhaps you could just tell us the vision of it, you know.
Well, there was the problem we were solving, which was actually our own problem, in that it felt that there was a gap in the market for a curated website across all price points. And we also were really looking, you know, at that time, you know, at e-commerce, there was a lot of product, you know, often feeling very overwhelming. And, you know, also sort of the design felt very black and white. So we thought, how can we create a website that is very design led, looks very different to anything else out there? It's colorful and is a sort of brand and world in itself. And that is how Collagerie came to be.
You know, you buy your beautiful luxury handbag that you saved up for, that you look after, you know, incredibly well for years and years and years. You buy your high street brand. You want to discover a brand. And you dress in this mixture. And I think, you know, we've always done that. But I think so do a lot of other women. You know, that it's never about always only luxury. It's never about always only high street. It's never about only always niche brands. It's about the mix. And we really wanted Collagerie to reflect that. And also being absolutely obsessed about our homes as well as fashion. So yes. I think we wanted to bring it all under one beautiful, un-anxiety-inducing roof.
I love it. And I love, you're absolutely right. And that's two of the things I was going to say to you then is sometimes shopping online in the traditional sense, going to an e-commerce site, it can be overwhelming. There's so much there. And also the retailers tend to have a particular sector of the market that they cover, don't they? They might be young fashion, might be high street, they might be luxury. And it is so nice to just get a point of view that you trust and be able to shop across the market. It is. It seems simple, but there wasn't really anything else out there that does that, is there?
No.
I think also because we started with storytelling. You know, we didn't start as just an e-commerce site with a certain number of brands. We started sort of the other way around, you know, very editorial-led. And actually, you know, really actually with a mood. So, you know, in the mood is one of the sort of biggest pillars of Collagerie. And that can be anything from a color to a thin blue line. And I think that's really what sets us apart. And actually, you know, I've been thinking about, you know, how to describe Collagerie. Mm. And edcom is what comes to mind, you know, editorial-led commerce.
Yeah.
I think it's a real intersection between that you really want to inspire people and you want them to feel uplifted and you want them to feel joyous about shopping, but you also, if they're looking for a black sandal, that we have that too. You know, you sometimes go shopping with a very, you know, determined idea of what you want, and then sometimes you just don't know what you want. So we want to hold your hand in both those sort of journeys. And if you want something specific, we have it. And if you want to actually just be led on a beautiful, you know, inspiring journey, you can.
You can do that too.
I think also, you know, having worked for, well, both Lucinda's worked for brands alongside her tenure at Vogue, and I also have, you know, worked for fashion brands. And you know, brands have always wanted and continue to want a way to connect with customers and to tell the story of the brand, whether it's in print, whether it's in the digital space. And I think that's been a really exciting part of Collagerie too, is how we're not only solving a problem for customers, but also for brands.
I was going to ask about that actually, because the brand mix is very interesting. And I was wondering how you did foster those relationships. How does it come about? How do you, you know, how do you work with them commercially and logistically in bringing them onto the platform?
Well, I think, you know, brands come to us or we go to them because there is a synergy there. And the process is very collaborative. So, you know, we can create digital content. We will work on design collaborations. There is a sort of myriad of ways that we can partner with a brand. And I think that's the beauty of Collagerie is that, you know, we want to tell stories. We want to work with brands. And, you know, given we're across interiors, fashion, you know, beauty, and actually travel too, there are many different brands we can work with.
And also often Leicester, it's interesting. Brands come to us and, you know, they can see when we put something of theirs up on the site, it really flies out of the shelves. And so they often come to us and go, how can we work with you? You know, we want to work with you. How can we work with you? And that, you know, we're not cookie cutter. So that can look really like, as Serena said, lots of different things. But we, you know, we take a deep dive into the brand, what their objectives are, what we can bring to the table. And that, so it can be literally anything from a product to an event to a pop-up to, you know, to a digital piece. So it's great because there's just so many different ways that we can work with people. It's really fabulous, actually.
Yeah, I imagine. And you are, Lucinda, you know, you're known for your storytelling and just creating a world in fashion, you know, that other people just don't see. And I can imagine that being hugely valuable for brands at whatever level of the market, because it does seem right now that people do want to tell more about something than just like, here's a nice dress. They want to sell a story, don't they?
Yes.
Yeah, they do. And listen, what about, I'm interested because you're both, you know, editors as such, you know, you're both taking things and distilling them down. When it comes to deciding exactly what products you're putting on the site, what products you're recommending to your customer base, how does that work? Does that discretion lie with you, or is it more of a collaboration with the brands?
Well, I think, you know, when we're deciding content, and we can, you know, we plot out content reasonably far in advance, but what is so great is that we can also be very reactionary, you know, so if somebody's doing a fabulous, you know, exhibition, we can react to that. You know, we've just put a piece up this morning on April showers, and it's because it's raining. But choosing the product, you know, has always been in Serena and my DNA, because it's all about the edit and it's all about the curation. So that's never been a problem for us at all. We love it, you know, and so choosing the relevant brands to go into the relevant piece is that's what we do every day, you know, every week. It is all about the curation. And it's about, you know, the fact that an H&M bath mat can look really, really happy sitting alongside a Gucci handbag. And so I think that's one of our skill sets, is, you know, looking at product and seeing if it's worth the investment and how it will sit alongside the site. That's what we do. It's what we love.
We'll be back after this short ad break.
I'm Tom Shearsmith, news editor at theindustry.fashion, and I'm here to remind you that every day we dedicate ourselves to producing daily news, features and insights to keep our readers up to date and ahead of the curve of events changing the UK fashion market, such as breaking stories, interviews and analysis. Remember to check in every day to stay up to date. All of our content is free to view, and why not sign up for our free daily update newsletter?
I just love the content on the site, because I miss good content. I don't know there's enough of it out there, you know, and it's lovely to see you dedicating so much time to that and so much energy to that. And I imagine it goes over well with the consumer. I mean, Serena, maybe you could talk about this. I'd be interested to know how you found your audience and your customer base and how they behave when they come onto the site.
Well, you know, when it comes to our customer base, I have to say we've grown it very organically up until this year. So that's been through, you know, podcasts, press, community events, pop-ups, product collaborations, you know, working with brands whose communities we can connect with too. And actually, you know, it wasn't until we had well over a million visitors to site that we actually thought about hiring our first member of a marketing team. So, you know, it's sort of now when we're really focusing on, you know, how we can have team members who can help grow specific areas. And I'd say that one thing that I think we've become very sort of well known for, and what we are told regularly that our community loves, is our newsletter. People save them, they read them, they shop from them. And, you know, that I would say is a kind of key area of growth and focus now as we go forward, as we're growing our marketing team, as we're investing in the marketing space. So, you know, that's been a big and crucial part to our growth at Collagerie, is our newsletter.
How often does the newsletter get sent?
Four times a week.
four times a week. So that's a lot. That's a lot of content. Yeah. You're lucky in a way, though, because you do have that content. You can communicate frequently because you've always got something new to say, aren't you? It's not just new in today, here are some shoes. It's their stories. Yeah. I think that's fantastic. Well, I'm going to sign up for it. I feel ashamed that I don't have that already in my inbox. I'm definitely going to.
It sounds a lot, but they're never overwhelming. And actually, you know, they're all designed individually, very beautifully. So they've all, as you say, they've always got something new to tell.
And you might find you want more than four times a week. So let us know.
I will probably. I was, before I came on to speak to you, I was in a rabbit hole on your site because it's just so, it's so interesting. And as you say, you can venture across different categories. You know, I got stuck in the art section and I was really enjoying myself there. Do you find that with customers, they might come, be attracted to potentially a piece of fashion and then end up, you know, shopping cross category?
Absolutely. And I think that actually is the, one of the points about Collagerie. It's a beautiful journey. And yes. And I think you can spend many a happy hour on there, but I think yes, it's got to be inspiring and it's got to, you know, but it leads you in different directions, but it's lovely, but it's also quite useful. But yeah, I for think sure. The enjoyability is front and foremost, you know, in our minds when we're compiling content, for sure.
Yeah. And I think what you might set out to do, which I have to say, I think happens more actually in bricks and mortar than it does online, but you might set out on Collagerie to buy, you know, a new summer dress, and then you end up buying a lampshade. So, you know, what we love to do is inspire. And, you know, that's what's been at the very heart of Collagerie from the beginning. Delighting and surprising.
Absolutely. I know, and I can see how easily that would be done. I wanted to talk to you both about the process of launching the business. You say you met over coffee, having both departed from Vogue and had this light bulb moment, and it was a good one because clearly I think it's a great concept and many, many others do too. But you launched Collagerie and then, as happened to a lot of people, the pandemic hit, which obviously was disastrous. But what was it like for you both at that point in time? You know, how did you keep the thing going during that period, having literally just set it up?
Well, I think, you know, being an online platform in itself and was definitely, I guess, you know, it worked for us. That was the business. It was a business to be in, you know, during the pandemic, as you know, and we all know, people formed new habits. Those who might not have shopped online before started to. Those who already shopped online shopped more online. So, you know, that was the only way we could connect with product and shop at that time. So I think, you know, that is something that, you know, really sort of, I guess, sort of accelerated Collagerie in a lot of ways. I think we could also had the advantage where we don't hold inventory, so we could pivot our content and react very quickly to, you know, what was resonating. So that was loungewear, it was home interiors, it was, you know, at home beauty products you could try and test out for the first time. So, you know, that was something that we, you know, you don't even think about, you just get on and do. So it was a, you know, it was an interesting time. And I think also we started to work with brands, you know, directly in that way. So creating content for them to attract customers to shop, you know, what new collections they had coming out that, you know, they couldn't launch in the traditional ways that they had, you know, been used to.
Exactly. And yeah, it's interesting, isn't it? I think for some people, you don't want to say it was a helpful period, but it somehow played to certain businesses' strengths, didn't it, that?
And yes, very much so.
Yeah, it's not just a digital shopping, is it? It was, people wanted to be entertained, didn't they? And your site is entertaining, you know.
I think so. And I think you know, as Serena said, you know, new habits were formed, and you know, I think once that habit has been formed, you don't relinquish it, you know. So people, you know, we actually just launched just before COVID. And so I think people who discovered us during COVID, you know, have been with us along the journey all the way, because it was fantastic. You know, a habit was formed. So we were very lucky in that respect.
Yes. I think so. And also one of the other, I suppose, changes in behaviour that has emerged post-pandemic, isn't necessarily just down to the pandemic, by the way, but I think various other socioeconomic factors as well come into it, is this shift towards more conscious consumption. And you, I think, Lucinda, you've always been about this considered purchase, haven't you? You've never been somebody that has pushed a particular trend or something that's a bit of a flash in the pan. It's always been about creating your own identity, being more considered. Are you seeing that shift with your customer base?
I think right from the beginning, you're right. I mean, I think considered purchases is everything, you know. And I think what's interesting about Collagerie is we're not about flash in the pan trends. We're much more about longevity, and definitely one of our mantras is, you know, it's not how much you buy, but it's how much you love what you buy. And that's really important to us, that the thing you buy, whether it's a, you know, £25, you know, T-shirt from COS or Arquette, is, you know, I'm wearing something that I bought from H&M 20 years ago, you know, and that's as important to me as a luxury handbag. So I think that's very much our mantra at Collagerie, is the things that we push up that are possibly less expensive are just as much worthwhile.
Let's talk about brand collaborations, because I was recently at the Jigsaw Press Day and I saw your collaboration with Jigsaw and I thought it was lovely. It was various reasons it was lovely. It was lovely it was you, but it was also lovely to see Jigsaw, this British brand that we all loved, having a resurgence, I think. Could you just talk us through that collaboration, what you set out to achieve? I think you're on your second drop with them now, aren't you?
Our second collaboration. And in fact, that's, you know, that's a case in point, that, you know, brand will come to us. And, you know, we had a cup of coffee with Joe Sykes, who had just been made creative director at Jigsaw.
Yes.
And they were like, you know, we love Collagerie, how can we work with you? And we said, we'd love to do a collection. And the first collection for Jigsaw, you know, we really took a deep dive into why people love Jigsaw, why it was in very much in people's hearts. And our first collection was based on, you know, people view Jigsaw as a very British brand, I think. Yes. And it's sort of beloved by many women on the, you know, in the UK. And so, you know, we said, you know, let's take all the British tropes that we love, you know, like the kilt or the Guernsey or the duffel coat, and let's do a collection that's worked around all these British fabulous tropes that people really, that really resonate with people, and uplift them, upgrade them, twist them around, make them really original and really fantastic, but the quality always there. And they love that idea. So we launched that collection and that was really successful. So we did another one with them. And this one was very much based on South of France and holiday and a fabulous uplifting print and electric blues and, you know, a lovely khaki in there. And so we just launched that last week. So that was very exciting. And it was very feminine as well.
We had a very exciting moment this week, actually, where Rishi Sunak's wife, Akshata Murthy, was wearing it on her, meeting with the Clintons. So,
wow.
Yeah,
that was a moment.
Yeah,
it was so very different collections, but all, you know, doing a different thing. But it looks great, I think.
It does. It does look great. It was. I went to see it on a day like today. It was pouring down with rain, miserable, and it was a bit uplifting to go and see some nice
good.
In the hope that we can enjoy them at some point soon. But that is a moment, actually, that she wore that for such a high profile meeting. That's fantastic. Yeah. Well done, you.
I'm chuffed.
Yeah, I bet you are. Should we talk about the collaborations you do beyond fashion? Because you also have a collection with the Conran shop, don't you?
We do.
Tell us about
it. Yes, we did one with the Conran shop. Conran was always on our kind of dream list, actually, when we very first started Collagerie. We were like, oh my gosh, if we could, you know, think of a design interior shop who would be, you know, the dream. And we identified the Conran shop, and actually we went to them, funnily enough, and said we would love to work with you. And so, yes, we did a product collaboration with them, and that was cushions and napkins and tablecloths and rugs.
Tables.
And yes, yeah, and beautiful, reimagining the mag table, which is one of their best sellers, in Collagerie colours.
Fantastic.
And we also, then that was really successful. So they asked us to come back and do another collaboration, which is just about to launch. And we've included lighting in this because we also saw that there was that sort of gap with really original lighting and lampshades. So that is a very exciting one that's just about to land.
It's all music to my ears because we were just talking, weren't we? I'm doing it at my house at the moment, so I'm going to go in and see all of this because I'm sure there's stuff in there that I would like to buy. And I believe it's next week, as we record, you're opening a physical sort of with the art shop. You've got the art shop on the website, but you're going to do sort of physical manifestation of that, aren't you?
So we had launched the project at 8 Holland Street in March.
Yeah.
So that came to an end recently, but we are launching it again with a pop-up in May with the Daily Dress Edit. And then we are hopefully also taking it to the US this summer.
Wow, that's interesting. That's very interesting. So the art shop is actually, tell us about it. It's a collaboration with female artists, isn't it? And limited edition prints. Tell us a bit about it.
It is. I mean, what we saw was, you know, and that's what's so brilliant about collagery is we can see what really resonates with our community. And, yeah, you know, you can get very inexpensive prints that the paper isn't, you know, particularly top quality. And then you can get something called affordable art, which actually for most people isn't affordable. So we thought there's a real, not necessarily just an opportunity, but a wonderful space in which we could ask 15, we asked actually 15 female artists, and they were artists whose work isn't normally printed, to create a bespoke piece of art for collagery. And they're all very diverse and very different. And we found an amazing printer and an amazing framer. And we did a deep dive research into what paper would be of the highest quality. So it's actually Somerset paper, which is. And the framing is beautiful, all hand frame bespoke to that print. And the 50, so they range from £100 up to £600. So really something for everybody there. And it's a limited edition and they're beautiful. One of the galleries that we much admired was 8 Holland Street. So we asked Tobias, who owns it, Tobias Vernon, if we could exhibit it in his gallery. And we painted his gallery, which is normally very, very white. And we painted it in all different colours, in Farrow and Ball colours. And we had a lovely launch and an opening. And we were there for a month, which was great. He gave the gallery to us for a month and it's just come down, but they're all online now and it's doing phenomenally well. And so we're really going to add to that. So that's been a very exciting thing to see how much it's really resonated. And they're beautiful. They're uplifting. The quality's amazing and they're original and fabulous.
Yeah, they're lovely. So really, you mentioned there then New York, and it reminded me, I was going to ask this question about international ambition for the brand. Do you have a global audience right now? And is that something you're trying to push?
We have a growing global audience. I mean, you know, we obviously launched in the UK, but being a digital platform, you know, you can visit collagery from anywhere in the world. So, you know, now what we're doing is really looking at how we can evolve the site to be able to work in different currencies, work with brands locally, in different markets, and scale collagery as a brand. So, you know, we do see a very much a sort of growing US audience, which is why and more and more orders from the US, which is why we actually want to go there. You know, I'm American. I started my career at American Vogue, and you know, I completely see how collagery will fill a gap in that market too. Yeah. And you know, there's so much scope ahead. So we can't wait to sort of introduce collagery to hundreds and thousands and millions of customers in the US soon.
Yeah, it's a big market. If you can crack that, you'll be laughing, I think. It's so great to see, you know, two people that have had these careers with these big businesses having the guts, frankly, to go out and do something on their own. And I just wondered what that journey was like for you. You come from, I guess, almost the safety of a big publishing house or a big brand, and you go out on your own. And what was that transition like for you both? How did it feel? And are you glad you've done it? I'm sure you are.
Well, I think to answer that's easy. Yes. Started Collagery. But, you know, it's interesting. I think I've always had a sort of entrepreneurial itch. When I was at Georgetown, I remember I started a small business in my dorm room, decorating and embellishing, you know, undergarments and selling those in local boutiques on M Street. So I along the journey, you know, of my career in fashion, I always had these moments where I thought, oh, that could be a good idea, or that could be a good idea. But, you know, obviously never then, you know, maybe had the courage or had the right co-founder by my side to do that. And then, you know, fast forward to, you know, after leaving Vogue and us having a coffee, we actually at that point, I don't think ever really intended to start a business, but we just thought this is too good an idea not to do.
Yeah. What about you, Lucinda? What was it like for you?
Well, I think it's interesting because you know, when I was very young in art college, I made earrings and sold them. And actually, one of them ended up in a magazine. And I had no ambitions to work on a magazine, but that really got me going, you know, to do everything I could to work for a magazine. Mm. But I don't feel I had the entrepreneurial spirit. I'd always worked for companies and, in fact, you know, grew companies and saw success sort of growing with me. So with Prada, you know, I worked on their first show and stayed with them for 10 years. And at Marni, the same thing. We started Marni and grew it till we had, you know, 85 shops all around the world. But I never thought I wanted that for myself. Mm. But as Serena said, you know, I think when we met for a cup of coffee, we weren't intending to start a business at all. But I think what was interesting is you have this idea and you think, yeah, you know what, you've got to do it. And you know, you put one foot in front of the other. I mean, I think it's a bit like having a child. You know, if you knew all the things that were coming ahead, people might not have a child, but my gosh, I'm so glad we had that idea, because if Collagery didn't exist, I don't know what we'd do. It does exist and I'm thrilled to be a part of it. And as Serena said, you know, having a partner alongside you and you spur each other on and you give each other confidence and, you know, when one's flagging, the other one's, you know, picks you up. And when you're excited, you're both really excited. And I think, if I'm honest, what really helps is that Serena and I, as we said, you know, did work together for 5 years. So we both knew each other's work ethic. Mm-hmm. I think we know how hard that we both work and we know how driven we both are. Yeah. So I think that cut out a huge area that could have been problematic for small businesses where the partnership is so strong. And we have areas of, you know, we have skills that one has that the other one doesn't, or that we both come together on all the major decisions. And we've never had an argument. And we've always felt the same thing about people, about ideas, about how to grow the company, push it forward. So I think in that respect, we're both so lucky, you know, to have each other.
Hear, hear.
That's nice.
And the idea at the same time, both of us looking at each other with this idea.
Yeah. It's nice though, isn't it? I've got a business partner and I always say we're the same where it matters and we're different where it matters, by which I mean, yes, he's got different so than me, but we have the same, absolutely the same vision, and you don't need to discuss it.
No, really interesting. Yeah. That's definitely, yeah.
Yeah,
it's quite rare.
It's vital. Quite rare. When you get a good partnership, magic happens, I think.
Yeah.
I think it has with you two. I've loved hearing your story, and I'm so grateful to you for taking the time, because I know you're both so incredibly busy, and I just found it extremely inspiring, and I genuinely love Collagery, so I feel very privileged to have had some of your time to hear more about it. So I want to say thank you very much, and I hope that we get to speak again in the future and catch up on, you know, world domination and various other things that you have in the pipeline. So thank you both so much.
Thank you so much for having us.
Yes, thank you for having us.
If this Fashion Leaders story inspired you, why not head over to our website at theindustry.fashion or find us on your favourite podcast platform where you can hear from many more leading industry figures. Don't forget to subscribe so you can be sure that you never miss an episode. And if you like what you hear, please do leave us a review or rating. If you would like to suggest names that you would like to hear on the podcast, feel free to drop us a line at press@theindustry.fashion. And remember to visit www.theindustry.fashion for your daily fashion fix and to sign up for our free daily update newsletter.